house of the Lord. Create some worship, you will come back later. Thank you. You'll come back, so don't go anywhere. You will come back later. Well, I'm saying later. Reverend Enoch, you're welcome. Mama, you're welcome. Okay. Yeah, you're not a stranger here. So I know you are not. I know you are not. Yeah. And if there's any minister of the gospel here that you have introduced yourself, you're welcome to share away. And I salute you. Amen. Amen. When I got to the church, a lot of youth ran to me and said, we saw your ministry in Instagram and all those pages. These days, you cannot hide. You cannot hide. I ministered at Bishop Brookman's church, a very powerful church, and all the youth watched it. Yeah, you all saw it. Yeah, it was a powerful ministration. But this is the house of the Lord, and this is where I belong. So I'm excited to be back. Okay? So let me take us to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Let's start from 32 to 34. Acts 4, 32. Okay? Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. Okay? Neither did anyone say that what they possess is their own. Right? What they possess is their own. But they had things in common. 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. And so here we see with great power and then great grace. You understand that great power is okay. Power need to be, you know, but I thought grace was grace. But in this scripture, we are told that the grace was also great. Amen. Amen. And so we are talking about, you know, uncommon grace. Okay? This is a model. This is a template. This is the blueprint. This is the architecture of Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we notice that their numbers were just 3,000 and a bit. Peter's message, 3,000 came to the Lord, and then the disciples themselves or the apostles themselves and a few others besides. And so they were about, let's say, 3,400. Let me pick something from the air. The Bible doesn't tell me. Okay? So 3,400 in a church. But come to Acts chapter 4, the numbers were so great, the Bible says, they were increases number because of the multiplication factor. Each day, the Lord was adding to the church such that he wanted to do it. Okay? So, if the preaching brought 3,000, and now each day the Lord was adding to the church, and so the numbers were great, okay? And yet, yeah, hallelujah, I want to bring out something here. When they were about 3,500, they set out, a structure to distribute food and everything, right? In Acts chapter 2, And because some people were complaining, they were left out. The widows were saying they were left out. So they set out a structure for 3,500. Now the numbers are greatly multiplied. So we're talking about, let's say, over 5,000, well over 5,000. And yet they said they shared everything in common. And nobody considered whatever they own or they've achieved their own, but they were able to distribute that there was none that lacked. Distribute that there was nothing that lacked. And so what did it take to do that? What did it take to do that? It took unity. It took the understanding that you are my brother, you are my sister. It took the understanding that we are one. It took the understanding that in God's house, God does not look at us in any other way than we are people of God. Hallelujah. That's what was happening there. At that place, God was first, right? People second, and material things distant third, right? God was first. They loved the Lord. They loved the Lord. And then they loved the people of God. And material things were just discounted. In other words, those who were rich were giving land to the apostles that, listen, if people, want to build, there are land here. Some who got 4 properties, 6 properties were saying, I've got 2 spare, can I give? And they were given. Some who's got money, this one will go to the bank and said, is there any need there? I'll sponsor this. I will do this. May God help us. May God bring it. Oh, God, let it happen. Amen. Amen. Something powerful was happening in the church. And he said there was no need there. No wonder there was great power among them. If the people are united, he said the people were allied this one. He said, now the multitude of those who believe were of one heart. Of one what? Heart. Right? And of one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. First time has come in Christianity that the dividing distance that we put on people need to stop. It need to stop. Right? If you come to the church of God, what do you see? Yesterday we were in a meeting and the speaker, challenged us. He challenged us and I'll quote him for that. He would challenge us with the leper in Mark chapter 1. And he said, the leper was coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, what were the people looking at? A leper coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, it's not easy in the Jewish culture if you're a leper. Number one, they say that if you're a leper, it means your sins. God is punishing your sins. So you are a sinner. And if you're a sinner, they bandage you, and you are not to be part of society. And so the segregation, they put you somewhere far away, and then you need to wear certain type of clothes, ash clothes, so people can identify you. And then you need to have a tag with you that I'm a leper, so nobody can come close to you. Why? Because it's contagious that your sins will be passed on to somebody. So if you got a spouse, you wouldn't see them. If you got children, you wouldn't see them. The family, extended family, nobody will come close to you. But all these things are not the greatest situation that lepers are facing in those days. But the greater one is that be banned from the temple. And your leprosy will also be cleansed only in the temple. Only in the temples, when you bring your sacrificial offering to the priest, and the priest will pardon you. But if you are barred from going to the temple, how can a leper be healed? Right? Okay. And so, you know, a leper is somebody that should not come close to anybody. Now here is a rabbi, a chief rabbi like Jesus Christ coming. And a leper was coming to meet him. What would the people say? Hey, don't go to the rabbi, because you would defy the rabbi. And so here is Jesus looking at them, you know, with all their thinking. And Jesus, then they said, if you will, hear me. That is the leper's voice. And Jesus said, I will, be thou healed. Hallelujah. Hear Jesus Christ. First, when we come to the house of the Lord, Jesus doesn't see me as an African man. He doesn't see me as a short man, as a fat man, as an immigrant, as whatever, as a cleaner, as a manager, as anybody. Jesus sees me as a person, a child of the living God, who is cleansed. My sins are forgiven, and I am saved. That's what Jesus sees me. But man will see you different. People will see you different, and they will give you names. But in this contest, they didn't see the individual by any other means that we are brethren. We are what? Brethren. And therefore I can share with you. Therefore, if we are going through something, Sister Esther, oh, Sister Dorothy, oh, my dear sister, the church need to be there for each other. The church need to stand for each other. The church need to rally around each other. When people are going through stuff, don't condemn them. Don't give them names. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, because the God that we serve, my Jesus, does not condemn. Neither do I condemn you. He doesn't condone that sin, but he doesn't also condemn in that sense. They had everything in common. And great grace. Can I take this further? The word unity is important. The church was so united. And when the church was united, it brought something, you know, oneness in soul, oneness in heart, right? Brought about the word generosity. Generosity. Folks, open your arms. Folks, be generous. Folks, give to needy. Folks, whatever, if the church has got a need, support. Support. That's what we are there for, because everything we own is from the Lord. The people who had, they knew that it's the Lord who had blessed them. And I like this. No person lacks food or shelter. How can we be a church when some people can eat a day and some people are throwing food away? Don't be shy. If you got a need, come forward. Come forward. And we will make sure that the Lord will meet that need through people. Unity is central to everything they did. Distribution and sharing in common. And the word grace, great grace. We know the grace is the favor of God. But it's also God's faithfulness and goodness shown to his people. His faithfulness and goodness shown to people. And he said, when God said, my goodness will pass before you, boy, the goodness of the Lord, it's what we call the good of the Lord. Because God is good. God is good. And God is faithful.
And so his faithfulness and goodness shown to people. Right? I call this, is God smiling towards his people? Why should God smile towards me? Because everything God has created is for me. It's not for him. He doesn't need the food that we eat, right? He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need anything, right? He's self-contained. But he has done this for me and for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so God takes glory for the well-being of his people. Oh, hallelujah. And one thing of this mega grace is this. It's for all of them, not just a few apostles. He said, nobody. He said, and great grace was upon them all. Not a few apostles. Don't ever, as a Christian, sit down and say, oh, God will favor, so and so. God is for all of us. Right? I wouldn't sit there and stand here and let you continue to be blessed and I'm not blessed. I need to be blessed as well. As God blesses you, may God bless me. You understand? You know, my sisters say to me, oh, brah, when I do something, may God richly bless you, get some more money that you could take care of me. I said, no, change that confession, right? Why should God bless me and then you live on me? May God also bless you. Right? So you will also give to your own children. So I don't give to you as my sister and give to my nephews and nieces, give to my grandchildren, the grand and the grand and grand. So it's not just my blessing. You also be blessed and take care of your family. And in this context, you said, all of them, there was a mega grace that was multiplied to everybody. May God walk among us and distribute among us. Let there be nobody who lacks amongst us. But everybody, may grace be mega unto you. May grace be great unto you. May God's goodness pass before you every day. Every day may you see God, minister his power upon you. Every day may favor come upon your life. Every day, see God working, working on your behalf. It is impossible with man, but not with God. But with God, all things are possible. And so see grace as something God has for all of us. I want us to sing a song. Are you ready? Come. You know this song. Oh, you're coming, but you don't know this. Okay. Amazing grace. But not the normal one. The other one with my chains. Yeah? My chains are broken and I'm set free. It's the same amazing grace one.
Grace that taught my heart to fear and grace. grace.